Okay, good morning everyone and welcome to today's Police and Fire and Rescue Board meeting, Monday the 19th of November. I don't think there's any need for introductions, I'm sure we'll know each other by now. Do we have any apologies?
There's an apology from Councillor Smale.
Yep, Councillor Cole.
And Councillor Parry, she returns from maternity leave tomorrow, so she'll be at our next meeting.
Thank you for that. And any declarations of interest can be declared now or at the time when a relevant item arises on the agenda. Minutes. If you manage to look over the minutes, I'm happy to approve them. Okay, can we adopt the minutes then? Yeah. Okay, thanks. Check a second. Kieran, you're happy to move them in? Debbie? Yep, thanks. Sorry?
Kieran wasn't there.
Sorry, I was just trying to remember. Sorry, I can't propose them because I wasn't here. Sorry.
So, moved by Councillor Muirhead, seconded by Councillor McCall. Okay, it takes us on to public reports. Item 5.1, Fire Service Local Plan Performance Quarter 2 Report.
Morning, Chair, Councillors. Thanks very much. Just before I kick off and hand to Dean to cover the performance reports, there's a couple of areas that are probably worthy of note for the Board by way of an update. Hopefully you'll be aware that our Chief Officer is due to leave the service through retirement at the end of March. The selection process for his replacement has... Well, it's actually very well underway, given that the command assessments and the interviews were concluded last week. So we are now in the process of waiting to hear the outcome. And obviously that will probably be a fairly public announcement with the Community Safety Minister at the point when the replacement is appointed. I think there was 5 shortlisted, 1 internal candidate, 1 retired chief who has been in Scotland as part of the chief inspector's sort of team, and also a couple from down south. The national pay negotiations, when I say national, I mean national UK, are still ongoing, possibly causing some frustration, certainly from a personal perspective. We're hoping that we may get some news around that within the next few weeks, but I'm sure the Board will accept it. I've probably said that a couple of times now, and it just keeps progressing fairly slowly. Newbridge, the training project there is progressing very well. The technical support building will be partially handed over to us early next month to allow an internal fit out, and we would expect to start getting our training teams in there at the end of March, early April next year. And again, there'll be some public announcements around that, and I would imagine at that point some invites towards an opening event for board members at that point. And the last thing, I'd like to go and note and say thank you to our police colleagues for the support over the bonfire period, albeit there was some negative media around some attacks on firefighters in other parts of the country. Nothing that I'm sort of like came over my desk in terms of problems within Midlothian, and obviously part of that was the local response to Operation Moonbeam, and I just wanted to pass on thanks to colleagues at the other side of the room for that. And that's me. I'm happy to take any questions on that before I hand over to Dean.
Thanks for that, Stephen. I'll just add to that. I'm sure I think all councillors got an invite to meet the Fire and Rescue Service Board in Haddington, 13th of December, I think it was. I'm sure I went to all councillors, but I'll double check, and if it hasn't, I'll circulate it within as well.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether those invites had gone out or not yet. It's the board support team we are hosting. When I say we, the service is being hosted in East Lothian Council at John Muir House, and all of the elected members and stakeholders from the mid-East Lothian Scottish Borders area will be getting an invite from the board support team.
Mr. McCall.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, just to confirm, the email went out last Thursday, Thursday the 13th of December, 3 for 3:30 at John Muir House.
Excellent, thanks. Dean.
Thank you. Good morning. I will take you through our performance report for the last quarter two. If you look on page 10 of your document pack, we'll start there. With the performance summary, the key performance indicators that we report on, out of the six of them, five of them are on target. One of them's off target, which is the unwanted fire alarm signals. It's the only one off target. So quite a good quarter of the report as far as the performance measures that we report to you guys on. Year to date, we've responded to 835 incidents in Midlothian, which is an increase of 138 incidents on the same time last year. But the ones that we report on to you guys, we're in a good position on. If we go to page 12, I'll take you quickly into the... As it's quite a good report, I'll not spend a long time talking each different area because we're all well on target, so... I'll quickly take you through accidental dwelling fires on page 12. We attended only 9 accidental dwelling fires in that quarter, which is a decrease of 6 incidents from the same reporting period last year. We're well below the average for Scotland and as a whole and the east of Scotland, but our accidental dwelling fires, we tend to have a high percentage in single occupancy households, which we report on quite regularly. 66% and 78% of the fires in Midlothian were caused by cooking. We're seeing quite a rise right across Scotland in cooking fires again, things confined to the kitchens. Like we've touched on before, smoke detection really helps us with that because we get early notification that there's a fire and we tend to be getting people out in time. Or they're self-rescuing, should I say. But cooking fires absolutely are on the increase again. Right across Scotland. Page 13, come on to casualties, fatal and non-fatal. We had no fatalities during this period and we only had 4 casualties. The 4 casualties were a result of 3 house fires. 2 of the casualties went to hospital with slight injuries and 2 casualties were given a precautionary check-up at the scene. So normal for us is there's not many people with severe injuries and fires, that is really limited now. So it's either slight injuries or a precautionary check-up at the scene by either us or the ambulance service. Page 14, deliberate fires, excluding those in houses. During the period, there were 75 deliberate fires, which is a small increase of 9. 76% of those were deliberate secondary fires. So again, along with information from the TAC groups and working with our police colleagues, we tend to know the areas where these secondary fires are going to take place. 76 isn't a huge number in the quarter, but throughout the year we have different spikes and we react to them as they come along. You can see from the list at the bottom, Dalkeith, Midlothian East, Midlothian South are always the key areas where we have our activity with our youths. We're setting fire to rubbish, wheelie bins, crops, stubble fields, for example, so, and anything they can set fire to. So we monitor that very closely and we react to it when it comes along. RTCs, Kenny will touch on that more than we will, but we attended only 10 during the last period. And that takes us on to the next page, casualties from special services. Out of those 10 RTCs, we had one fatal RTC and 5 non-fatal casualties from the RTCs. But the other special services we attended 2 fatal casualties and 1 non-fatal, which is in response to medical emergencies. Although we're not officially responding to these things, we still do respond to them when requested, when it comes through the system, and we're still getting casualties in that respect. We are responding to a lot of people who are trapped in houses and we can't get access to them, and we're worried about them. We're responding to a lot of bariatric patients, etc. Probably not as many as we should be, because of the way it's through our pay negotiations. But we are still responding when requested to do so by the ambulance service or the police service when required. We'd hope that once the pay negotiations are finished, then that will just become business as usual. But we are still responding. And the last page, which is our area that was off target, the UFAS, we only responded to 8 to 9 UFAS incidents, which is a decrease from last period. Most of them were equipment failure. A couple of malicious ones, which tend to be in schools. We don't get too many malicious breakages off fire alarm call points now. We are a wee bit below the average for Scotland as a whole in the east of Scotland. But equipment failures is where our issues lie with the UFAS at the moment in this last period. So we'll continue to work on that. We have a couple of premises that are subject to the letter system we have to help them reduce the amount of unwanted fire alarm signals they're having, and our fire safety enforcement officers are working closely with them to reduce those turnouts where we can. And the next page, page 19, from our prevention and protection activities, you'll see that the fire safety enforcement audits were almost on track for them. We're just below our intended target, and this fluctuates throughout the year normally depending on holidays and what other additional work comes in, but by the end of the year we should be on target for that. For the home safety visits, we're above target. Our crews in Pennycook and Dalkeith are working extremely hard to get into people's houses. We see the benefit of that, both in terms of a fire safety approach and a home safety holistic approach. So we're continuing on that theme. And the last couple of pages really are just our partnership working. You can see we're continuing a lot of youth engagement. We're doing safeguarding. And we are encouraging and still receiving referrals for home safety visits from a number of different partners across Midlothian. And they're coming in pretty strongly. That's why we're targeting so many high-risk people. the referrals that we get from partners tend to be high-risk referrals, which means we are targeting the correct people when we're going out to do home safety visits. So the more partnership referrals we can get, the better it is for us and the community at large, really. And that's me. I'll take any questions if anybody has any.
Thanks very much for that, Dean. Any questions from any members? Councillor McCall.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just thinking about the referrals from Mid Lothian Council, and I see that obviously we've got far more from the British Red Cross than actually from the council. I'm just wondering if we're missing a trick here, in that certainly for all council properties, someone is going in there once a year to check, to do the gas safety. You know, is there any sort of, are we missing a trick here, basically, I suppose is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, and probably goes towards signposting of what different, even if it's not council staff, contractors going into his premises to do various safety checks.
Absolutely agree with that. It's also worth noting that the Eastern Midlothian Public Protection Committee has just agreed and signed off a referral pathway for agencies to refer directly into our system. And that was agreed, I think it was, I don't have the date, round about the end of September. And that should ensure that all staff within a health and social care setting, and hopefully contractors as well, will not only get their training from us around fire as a risk, but also consider that by following that pathway, even where on occasions the person may not consent for a referral due to the risks to themselves and others, and that's obviously involves some of our specialist sort of community action team staff rather than our firefighters at Dalkeith Fire Station. So, but certainly that should hopefully go a long way to resolve the issue that you've quite rightly highlighted. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. Any other questions? I think just on that, it's probably worth raising an action where we could highlight that to the head of Property Maintenance Services and Customer and Housing Services as well, just if they could take that into consideration. So we'll raise that as an action. Just one question for me, page 11. And it's... Oh, just lost it. Work with partners and mitigate risks. I really need glasses. It's just on GDPR. Is there any obstacles with information sharing?
There's always going to be obstacles to information sharing. It probably shouldn't have changed. I believe there will have been some changes internally within the council. I'm not aware of it causing a barrier. And again, having staff that are on occasions co-locating within the council premises alongside police officers, there's more of a trust being built up there and sharing appropriate information appropriately, despite any of the barriers that may come up, particularly where we're talking about risk and vulnerable people.
Thanks for that, Stephen. I know it's been raised elsewhere and at COSLA as well, where partnership working seems to have taken a step backwards with GDPR, but hopefully we can resolve that. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks very much. 5.2, Police Scotland, the scrutiny report, April to September 2018.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks very much. And again, last time I was before you, I mentioned about Mr Livingston taking up post as Chief Constable. He's now chosen his cabinet. We have DCC Will Kerr, who is previously from Police Service Northern Ireland, who will be the Deputy Chief Constable doing the local policing role. And as you know, Mr Mawson had retired, so we have ACC Paul Anderson, who is covering the East. So there's a couple of changes there in our senior team. Which brings me to my own team. Again, some of you may have remembered Angus McInnes. He's joined us from a partnership perspective. And I welcome Richard Haran, who is a local officer to the division. He will join me, or he has joined me just last week, and you'll remember Richard. So I'm feeling, you know, particularly locally supported now, which is really, really good. Looking forward, two things really. One is I would welcome an opportunity maybe in January, something similar to we did last year, Councillor Curran, in terms of maybe getting our local approaches or our change network to come together and maybe get some feedback from yourselves in the new year. It's certainly, I think, the way forward rather than us thinking that we're ploughing a furrow that's really, really good. I think last year we just had a couple of scrutiny chairs, but maybe we could extend that up to the committee and have it multi-ward, multi-divisional, so that we can go east, mid, low, and again, it'll be an opportunity that I'll look for with your approval. The other thing for us, or for me really, is that we are putting a bit of emphasis about resilience in terms of Brexit. We need to have these conversations now, so that will be a primary focus for us in terms of resilience and making sure business processes are streamlined, as I'm sure a lot will be doing. But the other aspect of interest for me is I'm working very closely with Alistair Short from Health. We have, and it's nothing new, and it's not lost on any of you, is the impact of mental health, in particular that about hospital babysitting and our time spent within hospitals, although it's not always as a result of mental health or crisis, but a lot of it can be attributed to it. So I'm working very closely about out-of-office provision in terms of what does that look like and how can we collaborate in a way that's better for the patient or the individual, but also would have a positive impact on us, releasing us away from that area. So again, a lot of work being done there, and I'm working closely with them. And other than that, last thing, I'm just highlighting ANPR, automatic number plate recognition. I know there's going to be consultation with local authorities in the new year. We're trying to get our own house in order and understand what that actually means for us, and again I'll have to do some internal work, but it was just to highlight that I think there is going to be some sort of consultation about how to maximise ANPR, obviously within a strict financial envelope, but so I'll bring that back as soon as I know more, and I'm happy to take questions before I pass on to Kenny.
Thanks very much, Leslie. I think I was at the police scrutiny convener's meeting in Glasgow last week, and Mr Livingston was in attendance, and he specifically raised issues about the Brexit and the justice elements of that and contingencies. So he does well aware it's at the top of the agenda. Any questions? Oh, sorry, and I'd absolutely welcome any meeting that can take place regarding the local approaches and consultation for that. Okay. Any questions?
I've got three.
Okay, morning, Chair. I look forward to these three questions. Like Dean, I don't intend to go through it bit by bit. I just want to pick out one or two highlights, because on the whole it's a fairly positive report, I have to say, for the first 6 months of this year. I'm going to go to page 27 of the 42 domestic abuse incidents. You'll see that that's up 20% on the previous year. Just in terms of that, that's quite resource intensive. Any domestic incident that we attend takes us quite some time, and rightly so, with the serious nature that we treat these things in. But I'm conscious as well that last year we'd seen a drop in the number of domestics. There is no rhyme nor reason to it. I've offered something in there around about the really dry summer. It's the overindulgence of alcohol, which often leads to minor disagreements between parties, and I think that played a significant part in this rise. I'm certainly not seeing anything within Midlothian that gives me any massive cause for concern regarding domestic-related matters. On page 28, the next again page, again a really pleasing figure in the drop in antisocial behaviour incidents. That's quite significant, 11.7%, and again I balance that with that fine period of weather, which we normally see a spike in relation to antisocial behaviour. So that's a really, really pleasing figure, I have to say, and quite a significant downturn in there. Drug supply, production, cultivation, I did predict this a wee while ago, and you'll see that the figures are rising up, you know, up a third in what we were the previous year, and I have to say that that will continue to rise. Certainly the last 2 or 3 weeks I've seen some significant recoveries. of drugs within Midlothian, and that's down to a very proactive and intelligence-led approach, of which the MCATs are playing a significant part in that. Next page, 29, the headline grabber for you is probably the domestic housebreaking figure, where it says up 60.9, but I just want to put that into context. When I actually take the figures, you'll be aware last year accrued all year, just that how well we had done in domestics. What I'm finding this year is that we're back to where we were in the kind of 3 and 5 year average. However, what is most important for you to know is the overall housebreaking figure within Midlothian, which you'll see is down 32.2%. When I speak about the overall housebreaking, that includes sheds, garages, business premises. There have been significant drops in terms of that, and I have, for my 4 years I've been up here, you've heard me speaking about break-ins to garages and sheds and the theft of tools and mountain bikes being an epidemic. You know, well, it's actually down 60% this year, and a lot of that has been down to the partnership approach for the lockdown crime campaign, which really kicked off in November 2016 but has been ongoing since then. And I think at long last we're getting that message across to residents to actually secure your premises, secure your garage, secure your sheds. We've offered surveys, we offered discounted shed alarms, we've offered discounted padlock type stuff. So that's really pleasing to see. And we continue to work on the house breakings overall. Two succinct areas for us. One is the continuation where unoccupied dwelling houses are being broken into for the theft of car keys and high-powered, high-performance vehicles being removed from the driveway. That still gives us a cause for concern. And our colleagues in the City of Edinburgh suffer the same problems, and we have an intelligence-led approach to that. And the second one, and it's been a kind of new one for us this year, has actually been the break-ins to new builds and building sites. You know, and whether that's white goods or whether that's boilers and things there, but when you think about Midlothian, fastest growing authority area in Scotland, every single town or village has a development site on it. So we've done a lot of work with them, and we're linking in with planners. We're going to try and get in the front foot now that when we know that a new development's starting, to try and get in really, really early with the contractors and the companies themselves, and seeing what security measures they put in place, because to be brutally honest, they're quite lax. You know, and I think I've seen the same type of spike with my colleagues down in East Lothian as well, two areas that are growing massively, and it's rich pickings, but they contribute a wee bit towards this, I have to say. Crimes of dishonesty, the one underneath there, that's pleasing. Although it's only a 4.1% drop, I think when I came to the board here last year, we were about a 20% increase. So again, lots of work has been done on that. Page 30, pleasing picture in terms of a road casualties. You'll see the serious injuries down, you know, almost 32%. Our overall killed or seriously injured down 32%, and just a slight increase in the slight injuries here. So overall, a pretty positive picture in terms of what we're doing on the roads. And the last one in there, the missing person incidents and child. Again, at the last board meeting, I think I spoke about just the amount of time that any missing person incident takes us, but with children in particular, they all carry a form of risk. The bit that jumps out the page here is 43% of these are looked after and accommodated children. We've met recently with the Child Protection Coordinator and our partners within Mid Lothian Council and also East Lothian, who suffer a similar type of picture. And indeed, I think all my authority areas are very, very similar. And we're looking at working a lot closer now with the residential units and proposing a pilot initiative up in Pennycook, getting the Pennycook YPU. We were going to do a number of things, but really focusing on our kind of our higher tariff individuals and having a greater understanding of the risks that they're presenting themselves in, but probably for us a better understanding as to why they're going missing in the first place and what measures can be implemented. So hopefully over the coming months we'll develop some preventative measures in there and see these numbers reducing. And I move on to page 31. the protecting people. The one area I would highlight that is working well is the third last bullet point in there, the banks and building societies adopting the banking protocol. We've seen some really good results for that, with banks phoning through and slightly concerned with some of their more vulnerable individuals coming in and wanting to withdraw thousands of pounds, which is actually certainly stopped any fraudulent transaction taking place and allowed us to build a better intelligence picture. So banks are certainly stepping up to the mark in that regard, and the training and investment we've put in there is now starting to bear some fruit. Domestic abuse, the big thing for us is the new legislation kicks in next year regarding the psychological harm, and I do anticipate quite a significant impact in terms of that on us. I spoke earlier on there just about how resource intensive domestic related incidents are. I genuinely anticipate a spike and a rise in that, which will really cause us some areas of concern in terms of resilience. But for the board, every single member of police and our police staff are all undertaking mandatory training on this at various locations throughout the country, so make sure you're best prepared for it. Now move on to page 32, the crimes of dishonesty. I highlighted a wee bit just in terms of how successful the lockdown crime roadshow has been, and a number of individuals will probably have seen the latest bits that are popping up in different areas with the lamppost wraps, which some people have misinterpreted when they've actually not read in and thought they went into the web page and started to worry about a crime spike in their area. But the good thing for me is that people are actually looking at them, they're just not taking on board what the message is. And lastly, our street and retail crime partnership is up and running. It's taken a long time coming, with a few hurdles to get there, but it is now up and running, and we've got about 12 of the retailers now heavily on board, which is great for me just before the festive period. And on page 34 of 42, the serious and organised crime, it's difficult for me to depict with this being a public facing document some of the activities that we do undertake with this, and not for the minute. I just want to speak about a couple of really successful operations that have taken place in the last, and certainly in the second quarter. One involved a joint operation with our colleagues in Edinburgh, but the actual premises were within Midlothian, and we tied in with VOSA, our colleagues in road policing and SEPA, which resulted in a company with very strong SOCG links, basically having about 7 or 8 of their vehicles seized, impounded. SEPA brought on board as well when we got into the premises, where there were unlicensed waste being deposited as well. So we, in effect, put a stop to that operation. The individual had 21 days to appeal and surprisingly didn't appeal. So these vehicles have been scrapped. And a really good intervention, positive intervention, and I know that SEPA and our colleagues in VOSA are looking at utilising their legislation in terms of trying to criminalise that. And secondly, a joint operation with HMRC, again VOSA were involved, our licensing teams, both Midlothian Council and Police Scotland, regarding a second hand car dealership, which again has put a real spoke in their wheels, and certainly HMRC are pursuing a large interest in terms of the financial status of that company. And again, not for a minute, we have a planned operation this week in terms of serious and organised crime, which, dependent on the results, may or may become public knowledge. But lots of activity taking place with regards to that. And another area I just want to touch upon, which has been very resource intensive for us over the last 3 months, is that we've had a couple of high tariff MAPA nominals. And for those who know MAPA in the multi-agency public protection arena, both of these have been the extended violent individuals, as opposed to the vast majority of registered sex offenders. These have been nominals who have been released from the prison, who are extremely violent individuals, and with that comes a wraparound package. And I want to give the board some degree of comfort that there are strict plans in place and very robust policing arrangements with it. But again, it's quite resource intensive for us, but these individuals require that degree of scrutiny. And without further ado, I don't intend going through the rest. You'll see the highlights of events and operations and activity, and I'm open to any questions there may be, Chair.
Thanks very much, Kenny, and we appreciate that update. Do you members have any questions? Councillor McCall.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks for that, Kenny. Really positive stuff there. What I wanted to ask was about the hate crimes, and I know you've put in your note that it's mostly neighbourhood disputes. Is that when people are falling out, they then tend to use off the cuff, that we're not maybe, I suppose my question is, are we seeing anything that, I'm very mindful of the news this morning where the high profile rugby player who's gay was subject to an attack at the weekend. Are we seeing an escalation at all in things like that, or does it tend to be very much this off the cuff neighbourhood stuff?
Yeah, I can give the board some assurance that the vast majority of this is off-the-cuff remarks, lots of it alcohol-fuel related, I have to say, and it's been a neighbour dispute that they've not been able to resolve themselves, and when an individual has got a few bevvies on board, they'll make a remark that they tend to regret. Doesn't make it any better, I have to say, you know, in terms of the victim. But we do take these things seriously in terms of the scrutiny that's applied to every hate incident, whether that's a hate crime or a hate incident, gets a lot of attention and a lot of scrutiny. We're not seeing it. There's no trend whatsoever, and there's nothing that's jumping at the page. What is important, though, is that these things shouldn't remain hidden. You know, we absolutely want people to come forward if they are suffering any signs of that. Then it should be made known to us so the appropriate interventions and support can be applied.
Thanks. Any other questions? Can I just make a couple of comments? I think it was mentioned in the report of quad bikes. I know it was mentioned or specifically raised at one of the unit councils I was recently at, and that was a welcomed initiative. In areas where particularly there's large fields and open spaces, that, well, for the time being anyway, soon to become houses. That was welcomed by the community council. And also on the road casualties, it's a very positive figure. And I'd seen a documentary on the BBC the other week, and it opened up this statistic. It was quite staggering, and that young people are 3 times more likely to die in a car crash than from gun crime, knife crime or alcohol combined, and I found that quite staggering, so that figure's definitely very much welcomed.
Yeah, I think it's certainly well known. Our colleagues in the fire service and things, we attend far too many serious accidents or fatalities, unfortunately, where young people are involved. They are what we deem to be a vulnerable users group, and hence the reason why, just it'll feature in the next report, but we've just completed the Tomorrow's Driver event, you know, where we look at all S5s in every single secondary school in Midlothian, where there's joint inputs of the fire service, the Scottish Ambulance Service, we have the police there, and it's certainly a no-holds-barred. You know, we don't hold back just in terms of what they are. You speak there about guns and things. Actually, a vehicle is every bit as lethal as what you ever get with a gun. And you have individuals who are 17 who pass the test and they want to take on the world for it. And unfortunately, many of them run out of skills, that skill set, and for it. So it's an area of business where we absolutely focus on. They're a vulnerable road user group, as are motorbikers and more increasingly cyclists.
Thanks very much. Any other questions or comments? Happy to move on to the Community Action Team report.
Yeah, again, Chair, I don't intend to dwell much upon this. The report itself is extremely positive. they are making a significant impact in our communities in Mid Lothian. You look at the figures there and it speaks about the number of youth ESB calls attended, 88, and you think that might be quite low for a quarter. However, when you balance that in terms of the prevention message, you know, the overall ESB is down 11.7 or 11.4%. That's down to actual visibility. It's a big thing. Everybody wants to see a policeman on the street. You know, that's what the vast majority of the community tell you. And the result is that it's actually, it deters people from actually undertaking that type of behaviour in the first place. Lots of positive searches in there. You'll see the 16 positive searches and drug searches, that's or dwelling houses. That's having a significant impact in disrupting supply networks. Proactive bail checks, again, our MCATs, I talked about a couple of high tariff individuals who've came out in the extended MAPA. Our MCATs play a significant part in ensuring that these individuals are subject to their bail and addressing their licensing conditions. And to give a flavour, just so that there are no one-track ponies with ESB and drugs, you'll see they do a lot in road safety as well. They contributed a significant amount towards the drink driving campaign, 123 negative breath tests. That shows just how proactive they are with road users within Mid Lothian. Going on to some of their narrative at the back, you'll see that in terms of, I mentioned a couple of the SOCG stuff, in planned operations, again, our MCATs were involved with that. They've also, you spoke about quad bikes, and you'll see that as addition, we made sure that our MCAT officers were trained in the quad bikes because we were aware of the problems that are suffered by off-road motorbikers in particular in some of the areas in the fields that are left in Mid Lothian, particularly the south side of Edinburgh. And I know obviously particularly your own ward in the Danderhall area, but you'll see that it's allowed them. They're not just using them for off-road motorbikers. That stretch particularly, we've got a lot of complaints about the waterfall walk and right the way down through the New Battle Abbey golf course into the New Battle Abbey itself. It's given us a real opportunity to be getting in amongst people really quickly by utilising the quad bikes as well as also assisting at events. It's given us that wee bit degree of flexibility, so they're using them. Overall, colleagues, I don't want to dwell on it. They're doing a real fantastic job. I've got nothing but praise for the individuals we have in there. They've got a fantastic work ethic and they know that they're under a degree scrutiny and spotlight, but I have to say they're absolutely rising to that challenge.
Thanks very much, Kenny. Any questions or comments? I kind of jumped reports when I was discussing quad bikes. Dean, were you on to speak? No. Not off the hook, Lila. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Just for your information, the date of the next meeting is the 18th of February next year, but full council recently released the full schedule for the next 2 years, and next year's meeting dates are the 18th of February, the 3rd of June, the 26th of August, and the 18th of November. They're all Mondays. Okay, thank you very much.